I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. We are standing in honor of God, recognizing that this is His holy Word written to us. Psalm 23 is a psalm penned by David, and we will begin reading at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated.
Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, we thank you for your word. We pray this day that you would show us Jesus, show us how this is one great book, and how Jesus is the theme of all of it. Help us to understand deeply all that he has accomplished for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Psalm 23 is a well-known psalm. Probably the most known psalm. My guess is you are all familiar with it. Some of you probably even have it memorized. It's a psalm that's loved because it is full of confident, comforting statements of truth. But you are probably wondering, why are we looking at it today when we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus? Typically, Psalm 23 is read at funerals or in the hospital when someone is close to death. Matter of fact, if I asked you, what psalm comes to mind when you think of dying, many of you would probably say Psalm 23. So you might be asking yourself, why are we looking at this psalm on Resurrection Day, a day when we're celebrating life? Why are we not in the New Testament looking at a passage about the open tomb? You might even be saying to yourself, you know, Pastor Glenn, I think you lost some of the eggs in your basket when you picked this one, all right? Well, before you conclude that, let me tell you the reasons we're looking at Psalm 23. One reason is simply this. We are currently in a series on the Psalms here at First Church. And in my study of the Psalms, I decided this would be a great Sunday to look at Psalm 23. And I hope and pray that by looking at it today, you will come to appreciate this psalm all the more. I hope that looking at it today will make it so much more meaningful to you. I can tell you that the psalm has become more meaningful to me because of what I'm going to show you this morning. Second, we're looking at Psalm 23 because it's about eternal life. That's why it's common at funerals. That's why we read it when people are dying. Psalm 23 declares confident hope in eternal life. Life beyond the grave. The last statement of the psalm is, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's a beautiful statement about everlasting life, and today is a celebration of why that statement can be said with such confidence. And third, we're looking at Psalm 23 because it does point us to our resurrected Savior Jesus. I say that because of the content of the psalm and also because of an interesting progression in Psalms 22, 23, and 24. When I was studying Psalm 22, I learned of the progression. And having looked at it, I will always now think of Psalm 23 as a resurrection psalm. I want to spend a little time explaining that progression to you. Last week, when we looked at Psalm 22, I explained that it's not about suffering David personally experienced, it's about the suffering Jesus experienced. Psalm 22 is a prophecy of the cross. That's clear because there are staggering details listed in Psalm 22 that do not match anything we know of from David's life, but the details perfectly match what Jesus experienced on the cross. Psalm 22 begins with words Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And not only does it contain words Jesus said on the cross, it also contains words people said to Jesus while he was on the cross, mocking him while he was on the cross. The people said, he trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him. They ridiculed him in that way while he was hanging on the cross. And the psalm talks of hands and feet being pierced and garments being divided up by the casting of lots, which is exactly what happened to Jesus. And there are other details I don't have on the screen. The person suffering in Psalm 22 speaks of his bones being out of joint, being able to count his bones, being thirsty. All of that is a good description of crucifixion. A case can be made that out of all forms of punishment that have been used throughout all the years, Psalm 22 is about crucifixion. But crucifixion wasn't practiced when David was alive. David would not have known anything of crucifixion when he wrote Psalm 22. So we concluded last week that Psalm 22 is a prophecy of Jesus' crucifixion, a prophecy that was written and sung in the temple 1,000 years before Jesus' crucifixion. Now, with that in mind, I want to quickly show you Psalm 24. Psalm 24 is also a psalm of David, told that in the title. All three psalms, 22, 23, 24, they're all of David. Psalm 24 is about the King of Glory. In the first verses, we see the King of Glory ruling over the earth and those who dwell on the earth. The first verse says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. The Lord is reigning in that verse. And then the psalm goes on to talk of his ascension and who he is. It does so with questions. In verse 3, we read, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? And in verse 8, we read, who is this King of Glory? The psalm goes on to tell us the answer to those questions. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. And dear friends, we now know that the Lord of hosts, the King of Glory, is Jesus, who has ascended and reigns. Here's what a wonderful preacher named Matthew Henry wrote about Psalm 24. We may apply it, Psalm 24, to the ascension of Christ into heaven and the welcome given to him there. When he had finished his work on earth, he ascended in the clouds of heaven. The gates of heaven must then be opened to him, those doors that they may be truly called everlasting, which had been shut against us to keep the way of the true life. Our Redeemer found them shut, but having by his blood made atonement for sin and gained a title to enter into the holy place as one having authority, he demanded entrance, not for himself only, but for us. Matthew Henry is correct. We may rightly apply Psalm 24 to the ascension of Christ into heaven and the welcome given to him there. That's what that psalm is ultimately about. We can summarize what we've learned so far this way. Psalm 22 points to our crucified Jesus. Psalm 24 points to our ascended Jesus. Now think with me. What great event happened between the crucifixion and the ascension? Answer, the resurrection of Jesus. Now, when you think of that event, Psalm 23 becomes extremely meaningful. Psalm 23 is about our shepherd who protects us and takes us through all of life's trials, including death, so that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we now know that the reason he can take us through all those trials, including death, is because he has conquered death for us. Here is what Dr. James Boyce wrote in his commentaries on the Psalms. Psalm 22 is the song of the dying shepherd crying out to the Father from the cross. Psalm 23 is the song of the risen shepherd guiding his sheep through life's dark wilderness. Psalm 24 is the song of the ascended shepherd who will reward those who have served faithfully. When you think of Psalm 23 in that light, some beautiful New Testament passages about Jesus quickly come to mind. Let me show them to you. In John 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." Note those words. Those words are about the crucifixion and the resurrection. I lay down my life that I may take it up again, be resurrected. He goes on to say, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Because of the authority to lay down his life and to take up again his life, rise from the dead, Jesus is our good shepherd. It's that authority that makes him our good shepherd. He's able to care for us in a way no other shepherd can. Later, in that same chapter in the Gospel of John, in verses 27 and 28, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Dear friends, that's exactly what Psalm 23 is about. Our good shepherd who laid down his life and who had the authority to take up again his life, he leads us. He leads us and we follow him. And he guides us through all the trials of life, including death, that we may live forever, dwelling in his house. And concerning the glorious thought of dwelling in his house, let's read what Jesus said on the night before his crucifixion. John chapter 14, Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room. And he says to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus came to this earth, died, rose again, so that we may dwell with him forever in the place he's preparing. That's what Psalm 23 is about. And dear friends, we would not have Psalm 23 apart from Jesus' death and resurrection. The work of the shepherd in Psalm 23 is the work of a shepherd who has conquered the grave for sinful humans. Look at the benediction at the close of the book of Hebrews. Paul writes in Hebrews 13, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The reason Jesus is a great shepherd who can protect us and give us everything we need, including life, is because he was brought back from the dead. He's conquered the grave. Again, I say, we would not have Psalm 23 if it were not for Jesus and his resurrection. And we also would not have Psalm 23 if we didn't have Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. The Psalms fit together. In order to be our good shepherd, Jesus, first of all, had to endure the cross. And after the cross, he had to rise from the dead, and then ascend to the right hand of his Father. The three Psalms together describe the work of our good shepherd. Psalm 22 points to our crucified Jesus. Psalm 23 to our risen Jesus. Psalm 24 to our ascended Jesus. Seeing that progression and looking at the New Testament passages like the ones we have makes Psalm 23 so very rich and meaningful. That's the third reason we're looking at this psalm today as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Now, with that understood, let's go through Psalm 23 and take note of what our risen shepherd provides for us. It's awesome to make this list, what our risen shepherd provides for us. First of all, we're told he provides for us everything we need. The first line of the psalm is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Meaning we will not be lacking anything we need. As the book of Hebrews says, our great shepherd brought back from the dead equips us with everything good that we may do his will. When we are aimed at doing the will of God, we will never want. We all might have times when we want things we don't need for doing his will. That might happen often. Today, some of you might want a foot-long solid chocolate bunny, and you might not get it. You might, go to bed still wanting it. When I was a little boy, I got a big chocolate bunny, and I was so excited about this big chocolate bunny. And then I bit into it, and it was hollow. It's just chocolate air. It's like so disappointing. They could at least put marshmallow in it or something, right? You don't always get what you want, but if Jesus is your shepherd, you will not lack anything you rightfully need. He provides everything good for doing his will. He will provide you with the giftedness and wisdom for doing his will. He will provide you the sustenance for doing his will. He will provide you the clothing for doing his will. He will provide you with the strength you need when it's his will you suffer. You know, there were times when the Apostle Paul, for instance, was hungry and cold because that was part of Paul accomplishing the will of God. And what God provided Paul in those moments was strength, was endurance. That's what was needed then. Our great shepherd provides everything we truly need. We will never want in that way. Our great shepherd also provides us with rest. Verse 2 of Psalm 23 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's beautiful poetry for rest, especially when you think about sheep. A man named Philip Keller gives interesting insight into this verse. Philip Keller was a shepherd for 8 years of his life, so he knows about caring for sheep. He was a shepherd for 8 years, and then he became a pastor. From his experience as a shepherd, he explains that sheep will not lie down and rest unless they feel completely safe. The shepherd has to lead them to a pasture where they feel at peace. They feel danger in any way, the sheep will remain standing. And we can easily be like that, can't we? Sheep are a good image for us. Our world is full of dangers and problems, and we can be anxious. We can be afraid. When we are not sure how things will work out, we can easily have sleepless nights. But we have a great shepherd, a risen shepherd, who has demonstrated his power, his ability to lead us to a place of safety and peace. Our shepherd is one who, while he was in this world, took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed thousands of people. Our shepherd is one who, in the midst of a terrible storm on the sea, said, "Peace, be still." And the waters were quiet and calm. Our shepherd is one who had his disciples find a coin in a fish's mouth so that they could pay their taxes. Our shepherd is one who commanded Lazarus to rise, to come out of the tomb, and he did. And the night before his crucifixion, Jesus said to us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Our shepherd provides us with everything we need, and therefore also with rest. You can lie down in green pastures. And our great shepherd also provides restored souls. He provides restored souls. Verse 3 of Psalm 23 says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." That's an awesome statement. Because if you're truly going to live, it's not just your body that needs to be healthy. It's far more important that your soul is healthy. Jesus once said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" A restored soul is our most critical need. You do not have true life without a restored soul. And Jesus, the risen shepherd, is the only one who can provide a restored soul. And I want to ask you today an important question. Have you turned to Jesus for that restoration of your soul? Have you done that? Have you turned to the risen shepherd for a restored soul? You do so by repenting of your sins and turning to Jesus in faith that he is indeed the risen shepherd who died to give you life. If you've never done that, if you've never bowed your knee and confessed your sins and asked him to be your Lord, your Savior, to restore your soul, I entreat you to do so today. Do so and know deeply what Easter is really all about. Don't leave here today without a restored soul. When Jesus restores your soul, he will also begin to change your life. He will lead you in paths of righteousness. He will sanctify you. He will lead you into the truth. He will start to give you different desires. He'll bring light into your world. A restored soul is the healing we all most need. And 4, Jesus provides his protecting presence during trials. He provides his protecting presence during trials. He says in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That verse is one of the reasons Psalm 23 is read when someone is dying or has died. The psalm tells us the great truth that there is nothing we have to fear, not even death itself, because Jesus is with us. Our bodies eventually grow old and die in this world, or sometimes, sadly, we can face death even when we're young. But because our great shepherd who has conquered death is with us, we don't have to fear that whenever it might come. This great psalm tells us our risen shepherd will take us through death. Therefore, death cannot keep us down. Death cannot stop us. Just like one can go through a dark valley, come out to the other side, so we can go through death. Death has no chains to bind us because Christ has broken the chains and set us free. Notice that the valley is called the shadow of death, the shadow of death. Think about shadows with me. Imagine you're walking down a mountain. You're walking down the mountain into a valley. It's a beautiful, sunny day. You're having a wonderful time on this path, walking down. But suddenly, a shadow of a mountain lion comes over you onto the path you're walking on. The shadow is cast from above you, down onto the path where you are walking into the valley. Now that would be scary, right? That would be frightening. To see shadow of a mountain lion, it would be very frightening. Unless, of course, it was merely, only a shadow and nothing else. If you somehow knew you were safe from the mountain lion, and that it was only the shadow that could touch you, it was only the shadow that you had to walk through, would that cause you any fright? Not at all, right? Shadows have no claws. Shadows have no teeth. Shadows cannot bite you. Shadows cannot hold you. There is no substance to a shadow. And because of Christ, our great shepherd, who has conquered the grave, all we have to face as Christians is the shadow of death. Christ has endured death for us. He's taken away its teeth. He's taken away its claws. He's taken away its bite, its sting. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The shadow of death, it has no sting. It's been removed. Christ bore it for us. Christ has conquered it, and he walks us through it, carrying his staff to protect us and provide for us. Verse 5 of Psalm 23 goes on to describe his protecting presence with these words: you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Dear friends, there's not a situation or an enemy that exists that can stop our risen Jesus, our risen shepherd, from providing for us and taking us through the valley. Think of the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness. They didn't know what they were going to eat as they walked through that desolate place. But what did our Lord do for them? He provided them bread from heaven, manna to eat. Right there in the midst of the wilderness, the Egyptian enemies behind them, other enemies before them, and our Lord provided them bread for heaven right there in the wilderness. And our Lord Jesus has said to us, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. He can provide a table for us no matter what our situation is. He's the living bread. His protecting presence is awesome. He can provide a table in the presence of any enemy you can think of. And this great psalm ends by telling us our risen shepherd will provide for us an eternal home. He's going to provide for us an eternal home. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice that there's no doubt in that verse. The psalmist doesn't say, well, I hope I dwell in the house of the Lord. He doesn't say, I think I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. He doesn't say, you know, if I don't mess up, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. No, he looks at his Lord. And he says with confidence, because of who his Lord is, throughout my life on this earth, the goodness and mercy of my Lord will be with me, and I therefore shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And dear friends, we have more reason than David to say that with confidence. We know the tomb is empty. We know the good shepherd has taken our sins and nailed them to the cross. They're on the cross. They're not on us anymore. And we know he's risen from the dead. He is indeed risen. If you are trusting in Jesus as your risen Savior, your risen shepherd, your Lord, you can say verse 6 with confidence. And I today invite you to do so. This is how we're going to wrap this up. Please, if you know Jesus as your risen shepherd, your Lord, and your Savior, say with me now, verse 6 of Psalm 23. Say it with the confidence that we can have because the tomb is empty. Join me now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this day for a shepherd who's risen from the dead, through whom you provide everything we need for doing your will. Gladly do we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Father, we thank you this day that we can approach all valleys, even the valley of the shadow of death, without fear. For we know our risen shepherd has conquered the grave and that he is with us. Gladly do we exalt the name of your Son. You have rightly given Jesus the name that is above all names. May each and every one of us constantly bow our name to Jesus, bow our knee to Jesus and to his name. May we all leave here excited to be witnesses of who Jesus is and what he has done. May others hear from us and see in us that Jesus is indeed risen and that he is our Lord, the one who fills us with his Spirit. May it be obvious that death for us has lost its sting, and through our witness, may others come to know the tomb is empty, and may they too dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great celebration it will be when we are all there in your glorious presence, worshiping you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.